So good to see everyone here. Wave to our overflow rooms and our emergency overflow rooms and those online. So thank you for worshiping with us this morning. You've heard me say some of these statements, repeat them because they are truth and they're my heart, and I hope that they are yours as well. But we come this morning proclaiming Christ is Lord. And we as the church proclaim that Christ defeated death, and that he rose from the grave. We as a church, we as believers, we proclaim that Jesus is better than anything, that he is Lord over all. And we have seen this year, probably more than any time in our life, that we know that Christ is in control of everything. We come proclaiming that Christ is sufficient for all of our needs. And I hope that you will come to know that truth in your life. We come proclaiming that what he did for us on the cross, we can, as Hebrews 4:16 states, with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We proclaim as the church, as believers, that Christ is risen from the grave. Amen? We do not serve a God who is dead. We do not worship a wooden statue. Thank goodness. We serve a living God. And I always bring this up on Resurrection Sunday because I think for us, we need to be reminded. And for those of you that doubt, or maybe you struggle with is the Bible accurate, or was this really historical? We serve Christ who was seen by more than 500 witnesses after he was crucified and rose from the grave. Paul talks of this in 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8. He says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive," at least at the time that Paul wrote that, "though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me." Christ is alive. He rose from the grave. And there were witnesses to see that. We praise God for Jesus. We praise Christ for going to the cross. We praise God for providing a way of salvation through Christ. And that is the good news of the gospel. And the good news for us as believers is that tomorrow morning, we can praise him again. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to be open and we can praise him again. We can all come back together and praise him together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't just praise him for the cross and for rising from the grave just one day a year. Believers, we will praise him forever. Forever. We get to praise him for eternity. That's good news. Let's pray and thank God for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for defeating death. Thank you for rising from the grave. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much that you provided a way to salvation through you and through you alone. Thank you for the good news. Thank you that this morning is a time of celebrating because you are alive. You have already risen from the grave. You are alive. And so we come thinking about what you did for us, but really as brothers and sisters, as the church, as a family of God, we come to praise you and celebrate you and thank you and worship you and stand and raise our hands and to sing hallelujah to you, thanking you for salvation, the greatest gift. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy on a sinner like myself. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that in Jesus, in a relationship with Christ, you walk with us, that you sent the Holy Spirit that to guide us and to walk with us. I pray this morning that we would be reminded even again of the depth of what you did for us, and to be reminded of the good news, the great news of salvation in Christ. We love you. We give you all the glory. This service is not about us. It is about you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to take a Sunday off. We just started a new series called the Sermon on the Mount, and we're only a few weeks into that. Come back next Sunday as we continue that. Next Sunday, we will be back in the Beatitudes in our new sermon series. But this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, we're going to be in verses 18 through 25. Luke 23, 18 through 25. As I was thinking about and meditating on Christ, the crucifixion, the resurrection, one of the words that always comes to us as believers, one of the words that comes to me is this word substitution. This word substitution. And what that really means, the simplicity of it is that the understanding of it is this, is Christ took our place. Christ took our place on the cross. Because the truth is this, that we all deserved death because of our sins. We were born into sin. We have a sin nature. We all deserved to be on that cross. We all deserve death, yet, and this is the good news that I hope that you will continue to hear this morning, the good news is that Christ took our place on the cross. That's a big deal. That's a big deal when you deserve something and yet someone else takes your place for that. Galatians 3:13 reminds us of this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He became the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24, He, Christ, himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He took our sins, the sins that we have. He was sinless. He did not have sin, yet he took our sin. He bore them on the tree. Let me try to drive this home again. We deserved death because of our sins. Christ did not deserve death. Christ was and is perfect. He is God. He had no sin. But we, on the other hand, we were filthy. We were sinful. The Bible tells us that very clearly. The Bible is so clear in the gospel in what it means. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Anybody out here perfect? Go ahead and raise your hand because you should be proud if you are. Okay. Is anyone perfect? Okay. I can't see the overflows, but I'm assuming that we're all in agreement on this. We are sinful. If you've messed up one time in your life, you are sinful. And here's the bad news. If there's good news, you know there's going to be bad news, right? The bad news is this, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. That's the bad news. But there's the good news, and that's what I hope that you will hear this morning. But we have to understand the bad news to truly grasp the good news. We deserve death because of our sin, yet Christ took our sin. Christ put his place, put himself in our place. He was our substitute. I think, if you really get serious, I think it would be difficult for any human to give their life for someone else. That's just, we're selfish in our nature because, I mean, that's just the way we are because we're sinful. Now, I think some of us, we would like to think, okay, I hope that I would give my life for my spouse or my children. But in general, it would be difficult for us to give our lives for somebody else. There was a news story of a town in Pennsylvania, but we as Oklahomans, we can understand it, and we can relate to it. But there was a story about a tornado that swept through a western Pennsylvania town, and in a matter of seconds, it turned this lovely rural town into a disaster area. Homes and businesses and lives were shattered. One of the scenes that was on the news was that of a man on the steps of his house, sobbing softly. Behind him was a pile of rubble that once was his home. But when they interviewed him, his tears, he explained, were not from grief, but from gratitude, because his young son had miraculously been spared. In fact, a neighbor had been driving his son home, had seen the tornado coming, stopped the car, pushed the boy into a ditch, and then covered him with his own body. The neighbor lost his life, but the boy survived. Would you give your life for your neighbor? Would you give your life for a murderer? And that's a question we're going to look at today. These questions that I have brought me back to the story of one awful man whose life was spared because Jesus took his place. The scene that we are going to look at takes place with Jesus before Pilate. Pilate has called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and is saying about Jesus. He's looked at him, he's tried him, he says, I don't find anything wrong with this man. I don't find this man guilty. Herod, he didn't find him guilty. And I don't find this man deserving of death. Now let's listen to see what happened after this. Look at chapter 23, verse 18. But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, Jesus, and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. Let's look at this story, this true story, this event that took place. And let's first look at Barabbas, the murderer. Look at verses 18 and 19. Who was this man? He was a man thrown into prison for insurrection and for murder. He was a criminal. He was the lowest of low. He was a thief. He was a murderer who deserved put to death. And so Pilate, he didn't know what to do. But he had this great idea. He remembered that there was this Jewish tradition that might get him out of this mess, because he's looking at a man, Jesus, who had, there was no evil in him. It's like, I don't know what to do. They're calling for Jesus to be crucified, but he's done nothing wrong. Oh, I've got an idea. There is this Jewish tradition that might get me out of this mess. Each Passover, the people were allowed to ask for the release of one prisoner. He's like, oh, this is it. This is how we can get Jesus out of here. This was a symbolic act, which I think is so interesting, this symbolic act that the Jews followed to remember God's deliverance of the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. Pilate thought in his mind this was his answer. Surely the people would release Jesus and not, as Matthew puts it, a notorious thief. This would be like standing in front of a crowd present day and saying, do you want to release Timothy McVeigh or Jesus? And the crowd saying, send Jesus to the electric chair. That's what it would kind of be similar to. We read this little passage here, and does it not kind of blow your mind of the hatred that they had towards Jesus. We read it and we think, what are these people thinking? Barabbas is a murderer. Barabbas is a thief. Barabbas is a criminal. The early church father Origen tells us that Barabbas' name was actually Jesus Barabbas, which is pretty interesting. And Barabbas' name means Jesus, son of a father. So one scholar puts it this way. He said, the crowd chose Jesus, son of a father, instead of Jesus, son of the father. Christ, the innocent. Barabbas, the murderer. Now let's look at Christ, the innocent. Look at verses 22 and 23. Pilate couldn't believe what he was hearing, couldn't believe what he was seeing. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. We are reminded, even in this passage, this scene that is taking place, we are reminded again of Christ's innocence. But we are also reminded again that this was God's plan to save us. This was God's plan. Christ willingly laid down his life for us. Christ willingly laid down his life for you. John 3:16. You guys know this one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ willingly gave his life for you, for me. Christ became sin who knew no sin. We are the ones that deserved the death, but Christ became our substitute in order that we might have the righteousness of God. Do you know this love? If you know this love, praise him for it. Praise him for it. If you know this love, praise him tomorrow, praise him on Tuesday, spend time with him, thank him, come back next week and the week after, joining together with the body of Christ, praising Jesus for his love. If you truly know Jesus, you will want to be with the body of Christ praising him. That's the truth. You will not want to be far away from the body of Christ. You will not want to run away from the body of Christ. You will want to run towards the body of Christ saying, let's get together and thank Jesus for this incredible sacrifice that he made and what he's doing in my life. Let me tell you about what he's doing in my life. Let me tell you about the struggles I'm still having. Will you walk with me? We need to be together praising him for his love, for his sacrifice. Because why would we want to do that? Because we can relate to Barabbas. Okay, let's go on. Verses 24 and 25. Pilate was astonished. He was surprised. He was probably taken aback at the crowd's decision. You're telling me you want to set a murderer free and crucify instead this man that I find no guilt in? You're telling me that you actually have a thing that you get to do every year to release somebody and you're going with Barabbas? He was astonished. Look at 24 and 25. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. I read these last two verses, I read this passage, and I just try to imagine what Barabbas was thinking, what he was feeling. Because I would imagine he, at least in my mind, I picture him in chains, waiting to be crucified. I could hear that he could probably hear the crowd yelling, "Crucify! Crucify!" And I would imagine he thought that was for him, that his time was coming, because he knew he was a sinful man, he knew he was a murderer, he was in chains and knew that he deserved death. But and I would imagine even someone with this hard exterior, as he sat in prison, I'm sure that he wondered and started getting fearful of what it would be like to be crucified, to have nails go through his wrists and his feet, to hang on a tree until death. Anyone would fear this. And as this murderer sat in his chains, he could hear the key go into the lock, the door open. He knew it was time to go to the cross. And then the unthinkable happened. He was released. They said, "You're free. A man named Jesus Christ is dying in your place." Just let that sink. Imagine yourself as Barabbas. Because that's who we are. We're sinful. Before Christ, we were in our chains. We were slaves to sin. Imagine the key going in that lock, knowing that you deserve death, and then the jailer saying, "Guess what? You're free to go. You're free to go. This other man, Jesus, is dying in your place." Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse said this. He said, Barabbas was the only man in the world who could say that Jesus Christ took his physical place. But I can say that Jesus Christ took my spiritual place. And if you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with Christ, you too can say that Christ has taken our place. What an incredible, beautiful picture this is. Christ, the innocent, taking the place of Barabbas, the murderer. And for so many years as a child and growing up, I read this account, just kind of brushed through it as part of the entire story. It's like, okay, yeah, there was Barabbas. They didn't release him. They said crucify. But we focused on the cross and we focused on those things. But when we slow down and we look at this is so powerful. What a beautiful picture of God's grace and his mercy, of his love and forgiveness. What a powerful picture of Christ willingly going to the cross to die for us. We are no different than Barabbas. We are sinful like Barabbas because of our sin, because of our brokenness and our rebelliousness. We deserve to be in chains for our sin. We deserve to die for our sins, yet God, in his infinite love, provided a way to be set free for us. He provided a way for us to be set free. And that is through Jesus Christ alone. That is not through trying to be good. That is not through trying to be religious. We can see right here what religion has done to people, confused them. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We see this beautiful picture of God's holiness and his justness and his divine love in this one verse. The first half of this verse is God's justness. It is his wrath against sin. There's no sin in God. God is light, okay? Do we get that? God is holy. So it doesn't make sense when we try to make God out to be someone that is doing harm or bad things. Why does God do bad things to people? He doesn't. Why does God send people to hell? He doesn't. He is just holy. There is no sin in him. We are the problem. We are the ones that are sinful. It is because of our sin that we deserve death, for the wages of sin is death. God, in his divine love and his holiness, he loved us so much. He said, I love my creation. I want to provide a way for them to be saved. That's his love. And he did that through Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of the sacrifice Christ made for us on the cross, because he became the perfect substitute for us for what we deserve, through Christ we have been given a way to salvation. Amen? Amen. Have you experienced this? Have you experienced this grace in your life? Have you experienced this mercy in your life? Here's the good news. If you haven't, you can. You can. If you have, I hope that you've been praising the Lord in your heart, that it started this morning and as we worship together, and it's continued as we've read this passage and seen God's love for us. But if you've never experienced this grace and mercy and this forgiveness in your life, guess what? You can. You don't have to leave here not knowing Jesus. You don't have to turn off your TV if you're watching at home without knowing Christ. You can know Christ today. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Listen to these verses. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That is good news. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If God is calling out your heart, he's the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, and you know that you need Jesus, if you will call on his name, you will be saved. You don't have to go to a class. You don't have to get a degree. You don't have to memorize 50 scriptures. You just call on the name of the Lord and you're going to be saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of anything you're doing, your works, so that no one can boast. Those are just two powerful verses. It's a gift. God's salvation is a gift to you. Nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven, okay? It is only because of what Christ did for you on the cross. It is a gift. It is by faith. And he does this in a way so none of us can ever say, look at what I did. It's because it's all about Jesus. And it's a gift to you. This is the good news of salvation. And this is why believers join together, not just on this day, but every day of the week, all through the year, we worship together, proclaiming that Christ is Lord, thanking him for the cross, thanking him for the gift of salvation through Jesus. Do you know, have you experienced the good news of salvation in your life? Don't wait another day. If you feel the Holy Spirit calling you, don't wait another day. Don't say, I got to get my life together. Don't say, well, maybe tomorrow. Don't wait another day. Experience the gift of salvation today. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for defeating death and rising from the grave. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your incredible love for your children. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer? If you know Jesus this morning, would you just in your heart say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Pray in your heart, say, let me never, ever get over the powerful, incredible, miraculous gift that you've given me. Let us never get over that as a church. Let us never take it lightly, this gift of salvation through Jesus. And then maybe you know it is today. The day is the day for salvation. You have felt the Holy Spirit calling on your heart, maybe for a while now, maybe you're feeling it this morning, and you know today you need Jesus. For anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just a second, we're going to stand, we're going to continue to worship, and we're going to give you an opportunity to come and kneel, and maybe it's just to say thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Maybe you just need to say thank you. Maybe you need to sing out loudly thanking Christ for the cross. Maybe you need to come and say, I need Jesus this morning, and you just want to talk to someone. We're going to be here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for you willingly becoming our substitute, bearing our sin, going to the cross in place of us. Us just sinful, exactly like Barabbas, taking our place. Thank you for the cross. We praise you for that. I pray that you would continue to work on our hearts as we reflect, as we worship, as we meditate on your word, as we deal with the sin in our life. Maybe it's just as a believer, we need to repent. Maybe we, as a believer, we have just kind of taken this lightly, and we need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us, for sending your son. And maybe for some, it is to confess that you are Lord and to be saved. Thank you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.